Chapter 57. When Ron took Keats down to the lake, he felt a nervous excitement rush through his dog. Keats pranced playfully into the cold spring water and began to splash. His ears flopped up and down as his hind legs balanced his happy forepaws and wet face. Ron was beaming a smile as he watched him. There were winter branches that were still strewn along the swimming beach. Ron was almost frightened by his idea, but Angel had told him the lake wasn't deep. He called, "Here, puppy dog." Keats did his excited puppy imitation of bounding towards Ron, the sound of one of his names. Ron picked up a stick, threw it into the water. Keats watched it drop into the water, then heard Ron's voice. "Go get it." He was off, like a rumbling little shot, and Ron followed him to the water edge, wary now. Keats ran until he couldn't, and then he just swam. His stroke was powerful, amazing. He snapped the stick in his jaws, and turned back toward the shore. When he came out of the water, he was dripping like a fountain. He seemed smaller because his outer coat was now saturated. He shook off a spray that covered Ron, who was laughing and holding another stick. "Do you want to do it again?" Keats barked. It wasn't his little puppy bleat. It was bark. Ron tossed in another stick. Celeste looked up at the two of them at the top of the stairs leading into her living room. They were both dripping. "What's the matter with you?" hollered Celeste. She closed her book and ran to get towels. Keats happily followed her, proud of what he had accomplished and hoping for a snack. He dripped after her into the kitchen. Celeste turned in horror to see him. "Don't move!" she screamed at him. She walked across the kitchen into the bathroom to get some towels. Keats followed her. When she saw him in the doorway, she was totally exasperated and just knelt down and began to towel him in her arms. Ron knew he was in trouble, slipped off his shoes and socks and overalls at the top of the stairs. He laid the overalls across the banister in Celeste's newly polished living room. He padded into the kitchen to help clean the floor. He stared down at Keats being toweled off and saw that he had developed a small erection. He grinned to himself. It was just then that two field mice who found their way through a crack in the foundation under their front porch, undetected and basically harmless, but with a point of entry, scampered across the floor, madly searching for a way to hide in the sudden open space. Celeste screamed. Keats barked. Ron went for a broom. Then they were gone, in back of the peninsula counter in the kitchen. Keats and Ron searched for them. They were gone. Keats kept sniffing. Celeste was horrified. "I am not going to live with mice, Ron. I put up with you leading a soaking dog into the house and you dripping yourself in happily in back of him because it is the only water and you think it's funny. But I am not going to live with rodents." "It's the country," said Ron. "What are we going to do?" "I'll set some traps." "It's the country? What are we going to do?" hollered Celeste. "I am not living with mice, and I don't want to find them dead in traps or have kids think it's one of the gifts that he should bring to me." There are
a number of things that Ron could have said in response to this. Unfortunately, he chose to point out that Keats was not a cat. Celeste literally screamed, "I want an exterminator!" Ron could see that this was not a time to bargain with her. "That's a good idea," he said, and went upstairs to find stuffed pads. Still wet, Keats followed him. Celeste wanted to cry.